Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
I guess not really. We had Monday off. What today is...
The day that I noticed you don't have the taped together headphones anymore. How many days have you not had the taped together headphones anymore?
Weeks.
Shut up with weeks. I mean, just get right the hell out of here with weeks.
There they are. I mean, weeks. I've been sitting here. Yeah.
It's been a bit.
Yeah. Man, I feel bad. I like to think that
I did
have my eyes open and I'm, you know, I observe and I look at you every day.
Thank you.
I just noticed now. I just noticed when the open was playing.
2 weeks. Maybe more. Maybe three.
Well, I've only been, I was gone.
Okay.
I was gone for a while.
You don't watch the show?
Jesus, no. I
guess more motocross will do it. If I put in more motocross when you're on vacation, you'll start to listen.
If I had 2 weeks there since I've been back, which I have, I should have noticed. I'm sorry. I feel like I owe you an apology.
I got bailed out.
I didn't notice.
Zach and Derek, they guess they had an extra pair.
Okay.
There's a literal pile of headphones right here.
Yeah.
That look like they've all been run over by cars.
Yeah.
But, you know, nothing changes. We just keep it there.
Yeah, that's like our.
Probably my fault.
That's like some little Odyssey headphone version of one of those.
Graveyard.
Yeah, the airplane graveyard somewhere in Arizona where all the planes just go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Haunted Mansion. The only thing it's missing is like little gravestones with funny names for each one. Oh, it's Tape McGee. I don't know. Like, all just right. We'll come up with something.
Right. I didn't mean to start there. I thought it was newsworthy that you were not wearing the tape
it's
together.
Not really hump day because we all had Monday off. It's not really that, but it is. It is opening day of obscure tight end touchdown prop season. That's what today is.
Oh boy,
prime
here
time standalone games.
Right.
So there are two of these.
This is dangerous because it's a Wednesday, and this was very much a Thursday thing on our show.
Is that different?
Year. I don't know. It's just a different day of the week.
That's
so
true.
It is different. I don't think it changes the exercise very much.
So I have a guy tomorrow night that I love that I'm drafting constantly. I think everybody is.
One of the Rams guys?
Yes. Ferguson.
Okay.
Terrence Ferguson, who the talk has been... Like, they're going to be, like, basically their slot receiver.
Okay.
So they don't have that. They did go get Tutu Atwell back this offseason. He was in Miami. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. But it seems like the whole world is, like, sort of ready for Ferguson to be a thing. So he is, I think I saw, plus 400. Not massive.
No, that's not
That's
outrageous.
Barely obscure. I mean,
yeah,
that's...
Yeah, yeah, that's...
It's not Jackson Hawes, but...
That's kind of a credible idea, is what that sounds like.
Yeah, like, sort of, it's sort of normal.
Yeah, right.
So that's tomorrow, but that's not good enough. Like
no, you need.
It's also not tonight.
You need someone tonight. Yeah.
So we're going with Eli Raerden. Remember him?
No. What should I?
Yes.
Did he do something to me or my family?
Remember Taylor Kyles, the guest
fans?
From New England?
Yes.
So I, as usual, as is my wont.
Oh, I remember this.
I started to set up for some question veiled in like a real football question, but really was a fantasy football question. What do you think they're going to do with the backfield or who's the wide receiver for? And it was going to be a question about Eli Raerden, and he stopped me because I said the F word, fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped me and he said, you want a fantasy tip? I'll give you a fantasy tip. Draft Eli Raerden.
Okay, there it
so,
is.
So I don't know. I mean, they shouldn't really need Eli Raerden, quote, Eli Raerden, end quote,
yeah.
to like be a thing. They also extended, they re-upped with Hunter Henry
right.
between then and now, I believe. It was after that conversation. Of course, A.J. Brown, Romeo Doubs in free agency. You know, they have revamped the whole thing. This is a rookie, and I don't know. That's all it takes for me. One guy on the inside who's like, you know what you should do? Okay, I'm going to do that constantly now. I'm just going to do that every day, is draft Eli Raritan, which I kind of have. So obscure tight end touchdown prop season starts tonight.
I got to check the roster. I've not really looked. Owen sent me the screenshots of our Tunsil's gas mask team that I did. I did not participate in the draft.
No.
But I just gave him a cursory, looks great. But I didn't really look at it. I was like, thanks for sending it to me. But maybe we have Eli Raritan. I mean, I would.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't have been drafted.
No, we probably don't have
him. He shouldn't have been drafted.
Okay. Yeah.
I got an email, like I'm still attached to the team, that I didn't draft either. Joey did. And I got a B.
Oh.
Because he got a B. He got a B.
Wow, I didn't get any. I'm still attached to this team. I didn't get an email. All right, well.
Your name must not be on it.
I'm not that worried about it, really, but.
So
bring it up.
Eli Raritan tonight for New England.
There it is, everyone. That's the name.
I even have a base case for this, that in the Super Bowl, they could not do anything against Seattle. So they have had all this time to come up with a couple little,
wrinkles.
Wrinkles. And I'm going to say one of them involves Eli Raritan.
Okay.
R-A-R-I-D-O-N. Not like it sounds. Raritan. And then put with Ferguson tomorrow is 60-1. If I get them both. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Live a little. It's time to blow the money.
I think you're probably not going to win.
No, I agree.
But I say that as someone who, a couple of hours ago went in and took a look and had very much had a mind to do something, reasonable and modest and, an attempt to just try to win a little bit.
Yeah.
And
what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I know, right? What a concept. Instead, I get in there like, oh, the Patriots are plus 150. Sure. Okay. I'll do that. And Jadarian Price and A.J. Brown, 2 touchdowns each. Thank you. $25 for the 50% profit boost wins you $8,400.
What?
That's my bet tonight.
What?
Did you not
wait
hear
a minute,
every
wait
word
a minute.
I said? It wasn't much content there, really.
I did, actually.
It was three legs.
I wonder if anybody else could run it back, but I think I can. Brown twice.
Yes.
Price twice.
Yes.
New England wins.
Yes.
$8,400 for 25?
With a 50% profit boost.
Oh, well.
They're, listen, I'm not in there all the time.
You're going to buy a car if you win this bet.
I go in, and they're like, hey, man, come on back. We love you. Remember us? This is fun. Here's some stuff. So I'm taking advantage of that. But yeah, well,
in theory,
for the next 7 hours or so, I've got that sitting out there. But, whatever.
Price twice, Brown twice, New England wins.
The stupidest crap ever.
Hopefully you get the win at least. I mean,
doesn't matter to me if I get any. Well, right.
The touchdowns.
If I get those two touchdowns,
lose the game.
Right, that would be brutal.
That would hurt.
Yeah, that would sting. That would sting. Yeah.
Did you have that in that Cincinnati one? Did the Bengals need to win?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Oh. What does that even do to the bet? Does it really change it that much? It must change it some.
I mean, it's
they're plus 150 to win.
Yeah.
I have New England money line.
That's a little.
You're definitely taking it. If we do picks today, you're taking New England. I am.
I mean, why not?
I like them in the game. I talked myself into that.
I did too when I saw plus 150. That's what I. That's right.
Well,
because like the Seahawks are what, -3.5, and that's like -110.
Now three.
Okay, I'm not. No. I need a plus. I'm not taking a minus.
You know, good for you, because that seems so easy
to take Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
At home.
Of course.
After that Super Bowl, tonight you celebrate it.
The thing about that Super Bowl is that, I don't know if everyone knows this or not, but it was 7 months ago. That's a long time.
Well, yes. And I brought it up yesterday because the box score is like appallingly gross with just these punts,
Yeah, yeah.
But yards-wise, they were pretty even. Seattle could only kick field goals. You get a couple plays. I don't know. I like for New England that the line is so small. When it seems to me, like just intuitively, Seattle should be a bigger favorite. They won it.
Mm-hmm.
They're at home. They, people don't seem to love them this year. They think it was a fluke. It's really interesting.
When your quarterback is Sam Darnold, you are going to live in that world until he does it again. I think if he does, they don't have to win the Super Bowl again, but if he has a very good year and like doesn't throw three picks in the game they get eliminated in, then maybe things will loosen up. But you know how this works. Peyton Manning fought against this his whole career. You are thought of as the guy who saw ghosts on Monday Night Football when he was a rookie, or was that maybe even his second year, whatever it was. Like that is one of, it's a super famous clip, and
against Belichick.
And it still is, I think, a lot of people's walking off points when they think about Sam Darnold. You just ignore the good stuff. You remember what you first thought. What you first thought was, thank God I didn't draft him. And you just sort of live there. It's weird. I mean, I'm sure there are blind spots where I do that too. With Kyler Murray might be an example. I didn't like Kyler Murray. I decided I didn't like Kyler Murray. And so what am I doing? I'm hanging on to every little negative thing that I ever heard or read about Kyler Murray. And, you know, almost nothing he can do on the field is going to change that. And that's, you know, it's a silly way to live, but I think a lot of everyone does it, I think, to some extent. You can try to be as objective and honest as you want about it, but like there's biases in there that just come out. I don't like that guy. You know, and plus, you know, we live in a world and work in a medium where we're supposed to have opinions about stuff. You know, everyone's pretty good. Yeah, you know, sure. That doesn't work. So dig in and live there, even if it's, you know, maybe absurd. I hope to avoid absurdity, I guess.
So Darnold is so interesting to think about. That Monday night game was against New England, the Ghosts game. And everybody, like you said, has had a party with that graphic for years. Maybe we're over it, but maybe not. That was his second year. So his rookie year, there were good days. There was a game here that the Jets won when Allen was a rookie against Darnold. And he wasn't amazing, but there was a late drive. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we talked about the two of them in comparison after that game. Like, Darnold did it. They didn't have a good season. The next year is 2019. And that's the year where the Bills open at the Jets. And are losing the whole game, but win it.
John Brown, yeah. That must have been the anniversary of that yesterday or the day before, because I saw that clip was all over my Twitter feed yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't see that myself. But, yeah, so that's the 19 opener. That's Darnold losing that game to Buffalo. I'm looking at it now. They beat Dallas, and he has a great stat line the next week. And then there's that Monday night against New England. Ghosts, Belichick, Brady. 11 for 32, 86 yards, 4 picks. Oof. I mean, that's horrendous.
Yes.
And it might have been like the beginning of the end for him there already in year two. And, you know, here's Allen, who that's a playoff season. The Bills, you know, are feeling like...
Yeah, he's arcing straight up almost at this point, Allen.
But Darnold, to be doubted, the first thing I think about with that is like your draft status. Because we've had many examples of players that, better or worse, can never really escape. If a guy wasn't drafted, Fred Jackson, he's really not that good. He can't be that good. And the Bills thought that.
Yeah, they worked to replace him.
They couldn't stop themselves from drafting other running backs.
Just kept continuing to be the best guy on their team.
Yes. Like, you know, those people are the ones where fans will tell us, like, well, there's a reason why you guys don't work in football. I got like professionals who can't stop trying to replace a guy like that. Well, you know, tell me again what we don't know.
Right.
So you have a player like that, and there are lots of them, that maybe never quite get, we did this with Tom Brady, relatively speaking, for years maybe. Like, he can't be that good. I was that.
He's
I was
a sixth round pick. Come on.
He can't be that good.
Right.
If he were that good, he would have been picked earlier. And that goes the other way. But Peyton Manning, like, the stuff that was said about him was more just like the big game, you know?
Right, right.
Didn't win it in college.
Right, right.
And can't win the big game, which to me is like just stupid. And then, of course, he did. And that didn't matter to the same people.
And then
people.
We kind of forgot about it again. Right, yeah.
Like, so he was incredible. And I think, you know, you had to give him that. But then when it really was what it's about, he would falter. Darnold is, what was he, the third pick in that draft?
Yes.
Like, he's not the 101. He could have been. Mayfield was. He could have been. They were all kind of close.
Yep.
Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson, I don't think, ever had a turn. But I feel like even going back to, like, maybe Mel Kiper's first anything about the 18 draft, maybe right after the 17 draft ended.
Allen.
And then Darnold had a, you know, those guys all sort of were squatting on the 101 for a while. I don't think Lamar Jackson ever got to that stat, but those other three took turns.
Because Jackson never got credit for the player he was,
right?
For being the player he was. His running was so incredible that it was just like, oh, he's a great runner.
He must not be a good quarterback.
I'll never forget Matt Waldman, who's one of, for me, like the top analysts in the game. He's like, this is the best pocket passer in this draft, you guys.
Right.
And like nobody wanted to hear it.
Right.
Because that couldn't be right. It could be possible.
No.
And, you know, he was. I think he's been that as a pro. But, you know, now all you ever hear about Lamar Jackson is like, well, he's getting better. Okay, sure. You're just saying that because you didn't think he was good. But Darnold has major college, USC. He has 103 in the draft. He has the Jets piece, which, you know, you can't blame anybody for struggling with the Jets.
Right.
Like, why would that be his fault? And it's what? It's Todd Bowles and Adam Gase and just like it's constant churning of everything around him.
It was about as unstable a situation as you could get from ownership right through to everything. It was a horrible situation.
Then he's a bust. Then what happens? They give up, which, you know, everybody does eventually. They didn't win anything. So he was there he was there 3 years and they were done. Carolina. So they're nowhere. All right. Is that even maybe Joe Brady yet in Carolina, or is he LSU still? I don't know. But 2021, Carolina plays a season. They lose all the time. He goes, and you know, that might have been a second year or two. Then it's San Francisco, where like he's nobody's idea of a franchise quarterback anymore. Now it's over.
The first time I saw him on the field in San Francisco, it wasn't a close-up. I couldn't see the back of his jersey, a number. Not, I just saw a bearded guy under center. I'm like, who is this? Oh, yeah, Sam Darnold's in San Francisco now. I think he had a beard when he was there, if I remember correctly.
Sounds right.
I just remember just looking at him like, what? Okay, sure.
But, you know, you flame out with the Jets and the Panthers, maybe you could still play.
Maybe, but there's also, especially the Panthers, it's maybe a bit of, if he were any good at all, they would have kept him. Because you should try to see this through. Like, you need a guy, right? This is pre-Bryce Young, right? Yeah,
yes.
It's got to be.
Yes.
So, you know.
What did they win?
That works against him, too. You know, that he didn't stay there on a team that looked like they were needy. And they was fine. He's just another guy. And then, you know, eventually he gets to Minnesota and has that incredible year, but they did the same thing. Even though he had an incredible season, the last two games were really rancid, and that was it. Like, we're done too. We're going to draft J.J. McCarthy, who paints his face like a 13-year-old lacrosse player, and have him be our leader. Okay, good luck with that. Now he's third string. Holy cow. Anyway, Darnold, every stop. I don't think San Francisco really did. They had a guy and like whatever. But every stop I think you could pick at, if he's so good, why isn't he still there? Or if he's any good, why isn't he still there? Not the Jets, but Carolina and Minnesota, I think I would say that about.
Brady was the offensive coordinator for some of that season in Carolina, okay. The first year he was there. Cam Newton, which I always forget, goes back to Carolina from New England. That's the end of his career. He's on the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
He ends his career with the Panthers. And then the next year, it's Darnold and Mayfield in Carolina. That's kind of wild.
Yes, it is.
So that ends, then San Francisco, then Minnesota, And that's where I feel like I think about Matt Collar and doing his show every week. Like, what are we going to do here with Darnold? Like, they won every week. They were 14-3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they had already spent the pick on McCarthy, who was injured the whole season. He tore his knee up in preseason. So he misses the whole season. Darnold falls in. He might have never played for Minnesota had McCarthy.
Yep.
Well, maybe he was just so bad that he would have.
Right.
But McCarthy was the plan. He goes out. Darnold goes in. And he just had the worst timing because they needed week 18 for the division, and they got buried in Detroit. And then same in the playoffs at the Rams. Not, you know, tough matchups.
Yes.
And then, like, well, we've already spent the draft pick.
We're going to do this.
Goodbye.
Right.
And then he goes to Seattle in last year.
Because there would have been, I mean, I don't know about absolute top of market quarterback contract to keep Darnold, but it would have been close, you know? So, and you've got a kid you just drafted. It's easy. I thought all along they would have a really hard time keeping Darnold, and then he made it easy for them. You know, because he flamed out at the end. And if you were already, it was easy to make the easier decision, I think, at that point. Because, like, oh, you know, no one's gonna be lacking for understanding why we chose this. The biggest games of the year, he fell apart, and, you know, that's it. We're going the other way now, and good luck to you. And then all he does is go out there, and he was fantastic in the NFC title game, and they win it all. I wonder, circling all the way back to seeing ghosts, right? That's you said it was 19. That's his second year in the league.
Yep.
So how much even like the Hard knock stuff has changed since then? I feel like that was kind of a watershed moment. I mean, teams have always been wanting to control like what is out there, you know, how their players are perceived. I feel like that got through on Monday Night Football and really damaged Darnold's reputation. I think it's a thing that you cling to as a fan. If you don't have anything else to cling to, you grab onto that. If that never happened, I don't think he's still in New York, but I'll bet a lot of people, maybe even me included, aren't thinking of him as a punchline right away every time you say his name. And it's kind of why the league wants a more sanitized, you know, version of all that stuff behind the scenes and whatever. They want more editorial control because there's no way. I remember talking about it the morning after that happened. I can't believe that got on the air.
Yeah.
Like they humiliated this guy on national TV. Like, what are you doing? The league does not do that.
There was the graphic. Was it the next week or was it that night? It was an ESPN graphic. Was like, did he have mono or something? And there was a mono graphic with Darnold.
I don't know.
And then everybody started to mess with that and change it to ghosts and just different things.
Oh, boy. I don't
remember. Sort of pointing?
Yeah.
I got to find that. That's got to be on Twitter still. But, hey.
Season's here. Sam Darnold plays football tonight.
Darnold in May. Seattle, New England. Worst uniform matchup of the week, says Fashion Advice. I hate that this is the first game. Because it's going to be ugly to look at. Seattle in all blue. The Bills are going to do that too. Great. Terrible. And New England never looks good unless they have that red.
Right.
And so it'll be sort of ugly looking. Maybe it'll be an ugly game. The Super Bowl definitely was. Hopefully not. And I keep somehow I had it in my head that I just want tomorrow's game to be tonight. I want the Rams and the Niners tonight. But that's not going to happen.
No,
this will have to do.
Yeah,
New England and Seattle will have to do.
It'll look nasty, but I'm interested to get a first look at New England.
Yes, and we'll talk about the Patriots and the AFC East outlook here some more. Coming up later, Evan Silva. All right, establish the run. It's been a long time since I've talked to Evan. How about you?
I mean,
also a while.
He hasn't been on our golf show. So yeah,
yes.
I think I'm probably matched up.
Kickstands.
I'm probably Buffalo Links Golf. Everyone.
All right, it's been a while since Evan.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm excited that he is available today. Sal Capaccio. The Bills have practice, and then they have press conferences, or in some order, and an injury report. So we'll have stuff to talk about.
Eventually, we'll get to an injury report.
Eventually, Ty Johnson not on the field reportedly today, but Shakir is. So that'll be at 5. with Sal. Next, we'll look for your calls at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
You know, I hope we don't have the type of guys that are like, oh, I'm more motivated this year because of something that happened the previous year. Like, I hope we have the competitive stamina now that it really doesn't matter. And I thought the way that we responded from an offensive line, play calling, you know, offense last year from this game, you know, I thought there was a lot of positives that came from it. I don't need Deion and Spencer to approach this week any differently than they have been, and there's you know, throughout their career. And, you know, but I know they'll be ready to rock.
Joe Brady. I'm not, like, simpatico yet with him at these press conferences. That doesn't mean you couldn't be. But I'm just, it's just so much.
Yeah.
It's still always so much.
I
there might have been like 10 sentences there. Give me 4.
Yeah.
Just, you know, take some of that, slow down, take some of that out.
It's very hard for me to listen to him now knowing that he's one of these caffeine people. Like he's. I think he's talked some. Maybe it was Tyler Dunn in one of the long pieces Tyler is so well known for. It's not Dan Campbell, you know, with the whatever his Starbucks order was all those years ago when he first got that job. But there's a thing there where it's like energy drinks and caffeine and whatever. And when I hear him talking, I mostly just feel like I'm getting that. I've had a lot of caffeine today.
You can hear it. You don't hear it with Campbell. Right. Campbell doesn't.
He's intentionally slow, it seems like.
That's what you need to be. Yes. That's the move. Yeah. Slow down.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's young.
Yep.
And he's young at the job.
Yep.
36, right, Brady?
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens' new coordinator, I think, is 28. Declan Doyle. Does that sound right? You're wearing your Ravens stuff today.
I know. He's a young, listen, that is not okay.
You didn't wear the purple hat.
This is an ode to the old Pink Flamingo, and I will not have the slander of the Ravens being mentioned
okay. When
I'm wearing this shirt.
Do you know the pink came up on my draft Monday night?
Oh, yeah? How? Why?
Scott Barrett mentioned, he's 30, Declan Doyle. He wanted me to know that one of his favorite nights in life was there. He doesn't live here.
Lovely to hear. I had a lot of my favorite nights of my life there, I would say.
But anyway,
yep.
Sorry.
Yep. So Declan Doyle, first timer, he's 30, not 28.
30.
All right.
Still seems a little bit annoying that these coaches are in their 30s. Cut it out, coaches. Come on. Hasn't anybody ever told you you have to work your way up the ladder?
Have you had today?
I know. Just bit my tongue was the problem there. Had to reset. Just still thinking about Darnold and Allen and all that conversation and how exactly Darnold has not, if you agree with this, elevated to a point where he gets the benefit of the doubt.
No,
does he now? Not really.
No, he's not. You start talking about, I'll bet he's easy to forget. You start listing off like the top 15 quarterbacks in the league even. And I'll bet you maybe someone in the room, if you're like a lot of guys are, like are out with a bunch of dudes, and you start talking about football and listing off the quarterback, maybe somebody will go, hey, what about Darnold? He just won the Super Bowl. But I'll bet you're 10, 12 guys deep before you get to him.
Easily.
Yeah, he's just not thought of. He just isn't. That's the damage that was done earlier, and you just carry that around with you.
Try it. I'll go through names. Tell me who you would put him above. Allen?
No.
May?
No.
Jackson?
No.
Burrow?
No.
Stroud? Maybe. Wait on Stroud. Lawrence?
No.
5. Mahomes?
No.
Herbert?
No.
Knicks? Maybe. We're at 7 no's and we're at 2 maybes.
Like, yeah,
Stroud and Knicks.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yep.
Prescott?
No.
Hurts?
No. I don't love Hurts, but the running, like I would take him in a minute over Darnold.
Daniels?
No.
Caleb Williams?
No.
Love?
No.
Goff?
They might be the most comparable of all the names that have been mentioned so far, like big guy who doesn't run, basically. That's Goff and that's Darnold. Right. Like as a weapon.
We're at 12 no's and three maybes. Goff, right. Nix, and Stroud. NFC. Mayfield? Maybe?
I think I would say no.
Okay. Stafford?
No.
Purdy?
No.
Murray?
I have to say yes.
That's 15 no's and three maybes, and then Kyler Murray. So 16 to 20.
And that's everybody that really is reasonable.
I thought through all the teams. Yeah, I left out Carolina and Raiders and teams like that you wouldn't.
Tennessee, right.
Daniel Jones. I didn't ask you about Daniel Jones.
No, you don't need to ask me about Daniel Jones.
Rodgers.
Bryce Young. Like, no thanks.
Right. So 15 no's without even really straining.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
The one more point I wanted to make was, okay, well, you know, you can go pretty far with he was misunderstood or underrated, like all the different ways you could put it, how the league basically just turned its collective back on him. And, you know, how many excuses is it reasonable to make? Coaching changes and, you know, dysfunction.
Yeah, right.
The Jets, like, to me, and this is now more pronounced that it's 8 years later and the Jets haven't even been close to good in those 8 years. But now that seems even more obvious. Like, well, what chance do you have? The Bills were kind of the same thing when Allen was drafted. They were, I mean, what more success did the Bills have versus the Jets?
I mean, they ended the drought. That's it.
Which was a total fluke.
Wasn't like they were on record as being suddenly a new good playoff contending team every year or anything.
No. They were bad, but they made it and they were so proud of themselves they immediately fired their quarterback. Like they knew.
Right.
So okay. That's right. That did happen. I mean, the Jets were the one win away when they lost here with Fitz. I mean, they were kind of close then.
Yep.
They haven't been to the playoffs since before that. But, you know, Allen. And he doesn't deserve 100% of the credit, but a lot.
Well,
I mean, most.
The organizational stability, though. Like, you want to play the game? Like, the Jets draft Allen at 3? People have always suspected, I think, that Bean had Darnold above Allen. I don't know that, but I know it's just a thing that has been said a lot. I don't want to speak it into existence. But, like, okay, let's just – regardless of that. If it all falls, but the change is the Jets fell in love with Josh Allen instead of Sam Darnold and pick him, maybe the Bills end up with Darnold, and what of the two guys? I mean, Darnold, I'm combining their two names, Arnold. Darnold is not Allen athletically. I don't know, like, drive-wise. Like, Allen had that, you know, zero-star recruit, JUCO, nobody cares about me thing. I got to go to Wyoming. Like, you know, maybe Darnold has a little more of a sense of entitlement because of USC or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to assume things about their personalities, which, you know, I'm sort of doing by saying that. So let me just forget I said any of that. But Allen goes to the dysfunction of the Jets with Todd Bowles and Adam Gase and ownership and everything, and it's the wreckage that still goes on to this day. Sam Darnold comes here with stability and Sean McDermott and culture and Brandon Bean, and, like, I don't know.
No.
I don't think Darnold reaches the heights Allen has reached, but maybe he's still their quarterback today.
I think, well, you know, we don't have to debate culture again, unless you want to, but I think Allen is responsible for it. And what does that say about Darnold, I guess? Like, is he responsible for the fact that the Jets?
See, that's where that argument, I think, gets really flimsy. Because we're saying Darnold, like, the Jets are to blame for Darnold, but the Bills don't get credit for Allen, for having a stable situation. And I don't think that's fair. You know, yes, they start winning and Allen changes a lot for them, but they brought in a certain kind of dude, not just Allen, like around him to make it work. And maybe they left better athletes on the table at every turn doing that. And maybe in some way that has caused them to not be able to reach the complete top. you know, like they haven't. But I think if you want to pin some of Darnold's or maybe all of Darnold's problems in New York on the Jets, I don't think it's fair to exclude the Bills from credit for Allen having the stability and the comfort. I think you need that walking in the door. And they had it. McDermott had already established that and was establishing it and continued to. So I just think the situation a guy lands in obviously matters. And this is it's convenient because of, you know, how it all went. And, you know, none of this is provably correct. I don't know. But I think it's pretty okay with me to look at the two situations and go, that guy never had a chance. This guy had every opportunity.
Well, of course, I mean, you're not going to say different to this. I mean, it's a lot of different variables.
For sure.
And I think Allen has shown with his personality, I mean, I think it's pretty believable. Like, he's coachable. I think Allen is coachable. But as he ascended, I think, you know, he's just going to get more power. Mm-hmm. And more confidence. You know, it's not all bad. It's just like, then you've already arrived. Then you can make certain changes. I mean, the Bills have been through a lot of different personnel combinations through him. And now this will be his second head coach. Brian Daboll was here when he got here. That helped. And the Jets didn't have that. And I remember saying at the time, while I didn't really buy Allen as an idea, I mean, at least it lined up with Daboll, it lined up with, you know, okay, we're going to start right here. And McDermott, whatever you think it's worth, I mean, that he had already established some credibility. That's, I think, the word I want. Where the Jets did not have that. And Bowles, when Darnold gets to New York, Bowles is coming off like, what, 4-12 or 5-11 or something. Like, well, he's dead on the vine. Unless Darnold, I mean, this is 8 years ago, but I remember thinking it. Like, unless third overall pick, he has to play. Unless it just sort of takes off immediately, the coach is out.
Mm-hmm. And starting over.
Then they're starting over, and good luck to him. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like, they did not win, and so 1 year into his career, there's a coaching change. What the playoff year bought McDermott was, like, after 17 years of missing, he wasn't going anywhere after that.
Right, it's totally fine to go win whatever six games or whatever they won in 18 in Allen's rookie year.
He wasn't going anywhere.
No.
Like, he broke the drought. So now this is my baby, and this is going to be my quarterback, and we'll see what happens. But I still think it all falls apart if Allen doesn't, you know, get to Jordan Palmer and fix his footwork and just sort of like...
Right. Do the work.
Do
the work.
And then I think, you know, he is Darnold. And maybe he's somewhere else. Maybe he's on his fourth team. Darnold's on his fifth team, actually. And he sort of gets in the right situation and he can really play. He's not the athlete Allen is. Nobody says different. But what everybody says about Darnold, and this is also Matt Collar from watching him at practice every day when he played for Minnesota, is, and coaches would say this to Matthew, you never see arm talent like his. Just, you know.
Yep.
I mean, he's 6'3", too. He's not small.
Right.
And he apparently is just sort of a witch for putting the ball in the absolute perfect spot. And, you know, if he's under pressure all the time and off script and sort of it breaks down, then he's not. Maybe he's not the guy you want.
Right.
But when it's clean, I mean, what's his record the last 2 years? 30-5?
Got to be ridiculous.
something like that. I mean, at some point, you got to give him credit. Which, you know, not everybody has failed to do that.
No, that's right. That's right. It's not like universally people still treat him like the guy who saw ghosts. I'm just saying it's a lot of people, I think. And I'm not pejoratively judging. I think I have done it too his whole career. I just don't – he hasn't overcome that to me, even though I've watched him have the most success you could have.
May outplays him tonight and wins tomorrow is – told you.
Yep, right.
Every time he loses.
You. We're just waiting.
Kind of like Allen in the playoffs now. Told you.
Yep.
That's not us saying that, but, you know, there are, that's maybe most of football, you know, fans. Like, he's got to get there at some point. Evan Silva coming up. Sal Capaccio later. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. 803-0550 to join us. This is WGR.